Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Steve, oh, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carl's,
what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 40. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
Ricola.
And Charles Caldwell.
Whoa.
It sounded like that, what's that? That song, Old Man River. I don't know, that's what the voice you reminded me of. So, we're back after a week break this week. We had an E3 podcast last week. Tim and I went on with 8-Bit Bourbon and Evil Council podcasts and recorded in a live E3 show, which we should hopefully have up at some point once we get their audio. But in today's news, it's Charles's birthday.
Woo!
Charles. Happy birthday.
Charles is an old man today.
I'm 27 years old. Help me out, bastard.
It's weird. It's like after 25, she's like, "Fuck, I'm getting closer to 30."
Yeah, I know. 28's coming up. Tim, you had your birthday already.
Yeah.
And my birthday's coming up in like a couple weeks. 28.
I don't want to be old anymore.
No. That's why we should die young. That's.
Only the good die young.
Charles is also in like Atlanta, Georgia right now.
Traveling the world.
Yeah, world traveler Charles.
It's a normal Charles day.
Yep. I'm gonna go to Atlanta. That's what I'm gonna do. That's what Charles decided when he got up this morning.
It's too hot in Atlanta.
So they
are you in top secret like work related things in Atlanta right now?
Yeah, it's work. Work, make it work. Not top secret. I don't know. It's boring. You have to go to a bunch of different sessions and to talk about the same thing at each. So,
at least the room, the hotel rooms are well air conditioned, right?
Yeah. When I arrived, it was set to 47 degrees, and it was pretty. I think the thermostat said it was 50 degrees, so it was artificial winter in my hotel room.
That's ridiculous. I don't even think air conditioners in the Northeast like go as low as 50 degrees.
They definitely do not. They just have to have an extra powered air conditioner. It's the air conditioner is the size of the building next to it.
Yeah, I feel like the air, whatever air conditioner is cooling that room, it's probably like, like running like overdrive, like.
Yeah, I hope it's somewhat solar powered because it was blazing. I think it would, but probably not. It's probably just guzzling up oil or something. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, right. It's a dude just like pouring gasoline in, like, we gotta cool Charles's room!
They should just have a cooling tank in your room, Charles. Just dunk you in there.
Huh.
Anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Even though we did, it is a week past E3, so I think everyone at this point should have seen the Zelda promo video that Nintendo showed, and I think we all believe that it's pertinent to talk about a little bit more deeply, because the promo video was open world, which is a huge, huge deal, and I think what a lot of people have been looking for in a Zelda game for a long time.
Yeah, I think, like, the last few games were kind of open world, but not really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do this. And I forget who did the introduction, but he basically said that, depending on how you approach like a certain area, will change like the encounter, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. So,
that's like the opposite of how they've done it before. Like if you go somewhere, it's kind of only one way to get there.
Right.
But I think that will open a new element to it.
The other thing he seemed really excited about is that you can go into a dungeon from any direction. So if you see it, then it's something you can do.
Right.
Yeah, that's sweet. And now the guy in the video, I think it was we talked about this, but I think it was Miyamoto, and Zelda or Link was sitting on a horse in the video in the background, just kind of like sitting there while the grass is blowing around and there's mountains in the background, and he points to the mountains, and he's like, you see those mountains? You can go to those mountains if you want to go to those mountains. It's like, all right.
You can go to those mountains in your mind.
I don't know what the creature was in it, but it seemed kind of pretty cool. Just like kind of strolled on. It walked by and then was like, wait a minute. And then it came back and then it like ran over with its long spider legs and started like shooting bomb laser things out of its eyes.
Yeah,
reminded me of a weird combo of the spider boss from Ocarina of Time and like a mech from Final Fantasy. Very strange, but interesting.
And Link was a total badass in that scene too.
Was that Link or was that princess?
Well, was it the princess or was it an unnamed?
I thought
character?
It was a female character.
It may have.
That's what a lot of people said, but apparently it's not. They specifically said that it wasn't.
So it's just a new model of Link.
But they, well, yeah, they didn't say, I think they said that it's not a girl, but they didn't say whether or not it's Link or not.
Right.
But I would assume that it's going to be Link. Just like a new.
Or the game is just really progressive and it's a tranny. And they don't want to specify.
Because that's what Nintendo is, progressive.
I mean, Zelda and, like, in general, most of them, like, Link is kind of sexually ambiguous.
Yeah.
That's, like, that is true.
Every cosplay girl is Link.
True.
So, I mean, that would actually, if that's what they did, that would be a smart move, because it would just be like, they could be whatever you wanted them to be.
Yeah. Same thing with Zelda. I mean, Zelda and Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows?
It also could like be used to like make Link look a little younger. It seems like in the video that Link is like skinnier, and or this character, if it's Link, seems a little skinnier and like more feminine. But that could be like a way, I guess, to make sort of, how they like to do the like young old Link.
Yeah.
So it could be maybe as you even if it's not like a time change, it's more like an equipment change, where you seem to become more like. Bigger, like older, mature.
I think they should have steroid Link that comes out, and he's just like ripped.
Beast mode.
Link.
He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger during
gamma radiation.
Like, Goron Link just like rolls around.
Yeah. Super Saiyan.
Goron Link is my favorite. I just roll around endlessly around the town, especially with the spike.
I think it's also interesting that Link didn't had, I mean, he doesn't always have, usually a Master Sword comes relatively late, but there was no Master Sword, and he had like a, or whoever it was, had like an insane bow,
yeah.
Or I guess an insane arrow on the other bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like when he finally destroyed that spider thing, it was like an action sequence where he was like slow motion jumping in the air and...
Yeah, I'm curious.
Ripped out. It was just one like mega arrow that like had like this weird, I don't know, it almost looked like sci-fi little thing.
Lasers.
Like little
unfolding sword on the end of this arrow.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Maybe it's barbed.
I don't know. But it makes you wonder whether that's cinematic or whether that was actual gameplay.
Yeah, I guess it could be like kind of like kill moves, sort of like God of War.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, sorry.
We just don't know. We just don't know!
I did find it interesting. Nintendo, toward the end of the E3 conference, at the end of the week, they were talking about how Twitch is never going to be integrated with the Wii U, and how they're not going to stream games the way the other consoles are doing. And I don't know. I feel like streaming and like sharing and all that stuff is kind of the progression that gaming is taking, although Nintendo never actually takes that direction. So
right, I found it ironic that they were literally live broadcasting their stream on Twitch, as they said that, you know, we don't want to stream games on Twitch. But I, you know, to their point, what I think what they're saying is that, you know, it's boring to sit and watch a stream when you could be playing it. So I mean, I don't think that like the people watching streams of Nintendo games are like eating into their budget, you know.
Yeah,
like I don't think that, but I think that, you know, they kind of want to, I don't know what their motivation is for that, but to me it doesn't really make sense other than to try to like discourage it. But
yeah, I don't know. It just seems kind of odd.
I mean, I guess my opinion on it is, I guess it's, I can see where it can be difficult to implement it in if you haven't really thought about it beforehand. So PlayStation and Xbox got to sort of do it on launch, or at least soon after, like get really into it. So I guess I understand that like the Wii U has been out for a while and stuff, but it seems like a pretty big market right now. And, you know, people are investing a lot of money in it, and there's a lot of people making money in it, which we'll talk about later, I guess. But, you know what I mean? I just feel like that is a little interesting. It doesn't seem like the smartest move, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. It's, you know, Nintendo plays by no one else's rules, so...
Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
We'll see how it plays out for them, and maybe that, you know, maybe they'll take an entirely different approach to the whole streaming and sharing thing. But
yeah, it's also odd because it seems sort of in Nintendo's cards to play these type, like Nintendo really enjoys like sort of gimmicky sharing, you know. Yeah, like the Game Boy where you could print things out, we talked about this. Yeah, and the, you know, they you know, it's like it's not gimmicky, right? But like it's like, you know, Nintendo really likes to do media type things. They really like to have people interact via media, and it just seems, you know, maybe they have something else in mind that they think is going to be more effective. But
they're working on a system where the camera is not in real life, it actually turns every camera person into a meme.
I think they have a tendency to like things that kind of keep you engaged in the game even when you're not playing, you know. So like, I think that knowing them, I don't think Nintendo likes to partner with people with things, so I could see them maybe coming up with their own thing later on just to, you know, get in the market. But I don't think they would ever, you know, like if you look back in history, like how often is Nintendo partnering with another company to do something?
It's true.
Well, you know, Nintendo may not be taking advantage of all this streaming business, but YouTube streamer PewDiePie, it just came out that he is making $4 million a year. That so son ridiculous. Of a bitch.
I don't even know how this is humanly possible.
I don't either. And I've watched his stuff, and like some of it's kind of funny, but some of it is just like, good God, how are you making any money off of this?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think it's just like, okay, well, this is my opinion on him, and we've talked about him like a bunch, but like, it doesn't surprise me. I just think he's more like, people don't give him a credit enough that like, he's more of like a personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really kind of like an entertainment source. Like, he's almost like an actor. Like, maybe he is acting, but you know what I mean? Like, he has a persona, which is like very unique, and like he does things, and I don't think it's really about the game, so to speak. I mean, it is about the game because that's what we have in common, but like, I mean, if I play a game and he plays a game, I can guarantee you, even if everybody that watches his thing watch my thing, they wouldn't think it's as good.
Yeah.
Just like fact. And so, you know, I don't, I think it's ridiculous, and obviously I'm jealous that he makes so much money and he has so many followers and stuff, but at the same time, like, he's doing something that I could never do. Like, he has, he just is clearly, like, ridiculous, and...
I mean, and you know, he does put out quite a bit of volume of stuff too. It's not just
he does one like almost every day, right?
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
it's
and that's, I mean, that's really, that's a lot of work in terms of like
editing
and like, and just like, I mean, and just being you know,
he
being
doesn't
that
live
out,
stream?
Out, yeah, oh. creative, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he the only thing I've ever seen are uploaded videos. He doesn't stream on YouTube, does he?
I don't know.
I think he streams potentially sometimes, but I think they end up, he ends up recording them or like editing them into recorded videos.
Because I feel like in terms of engagement, like when you're streaming live, you can like respond to your viewers, you can like talk to them, and I think that I feel like that really increases user engagement. So like the fact that he's so big on YouTube on like a platform that the only real engagement is through like comments and stuff, and not really like a live chat as you're recording. That to me makes it even more impressive, you know, because he has kind of built up this thing that people just kind of watch him and look at him and don't really interact with him,
right.
And they keep wanting to coming back, you know, and keep watching it, which is, you know, I don't know how he does it.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Switching gears over to PlayStation. News this week, the game that I think is probably one of the most anticipated for this fall is Destiny, which Bungie's putting out. And apparently Destiny is going to be a PlayStation exclusive in Japan. Which
I don't even know how this is possible.
I don't know either. I mean, like, to have different regions have different exclusivity, it doesn't really, I don't understand. I don't understand how it works.
Now, are the new consoles region locked? Because I remember hearing something about them not being.
I don't know about Xbox One, but I know PlayStation is not.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's kind of an important problem when you're talking about like locking out games from different regions. Mm-hmm. So that's a little odd. I don't know.
I mean, maybe it won't go on sale in stores, but, you know, you can always buy it online or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like Bungie was really cozy with PlayStation after they left Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I guess this is a further sign of that, you know.
Yeah.
And Destiny is getting a whole bunch of exclusive stuff for PlayStation 4 people as well, so anyone who buys the game on PlayStation 4 or pre-orders it gets like extra character stuff, an extra mission, a multiplayer map, like all this extra stuff to begin with. I mean, granted, it'll all be available at some point to everybody, but
yeah,
still pretty cool.
Yeah,
and we talked about this that last week about the white PlayStation 4, right? So I think it's pretty cool that they have like a, you know, a special one that they're bundling with Destiny.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think the companies underestimate how like how much people want certain colors.
Yeah.
And I mean, a white PlayStation 4 is not my cup of tea, but you know, people will like sell their current like PlayStation 4 to buy a color that they actually want, which is ridiculous. Yeah. But you know,
yeah. I think it's cool to be able to like say that you have one that is like rare. You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool. I mean, like just being able to, I don't know, having it and people come over and it's basically like bragging rights. But
yeah. Yeah, I remember I got, when I first bought my Xbox 360, I waited like a year or 2 years or something after it came out, and I went to go buy it, and all they had left was the 360 Elite, so I was like, alright, I'll be badass, I'll get the Elite, It was like way more money, but I was like, I want Xbox today. I'm not gonna wait. So I bought it and not really thinking about it. But then afterwards, I was like, yeah, I have an Xbox 360 Elite. And I was like, all right, this is a waste of money.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, this past weekend was Father's Day, and we kind of wanted to dedicate a little bit of our podcast to our own dads as well as anybody else's dads out there. We wish everyone a belated Happy Father's Day, but I think we're gonna shoot off just a couple stories, personal stories of our own, and just talk about, I think, dads and gaming, because, you know, in most cases, you know, dads are the ones that are kind of the gamers or encouraging gaming, and that may not be in every case, but dads are kind of the ones that play with their, especially younger, like, boys, so, like, their yeah. sons, so...
Yeah, I know from my experience, the first console, I mean, we played a ton of Nintendo with, like, our cousin, and the first console me and my brother actually owned was a Sega Genesis, and I remember getting it, and mainly it was me and my brother who played, but then, like, if he's only 2 years younger than me, so we were, like, the main players, but, like, if one of us wasn't there, it was like, oh, I gotta play with Dad, he's, like, so bad, and we'd play, like, you know, my dad would play Tails or something, and he would just not know what he was doing. But, you know, he eventually got better, and then I remember playing, after that, like, the next big game that we played, like, as a family was GoldenEye. And that was, like, really frustrating. That was, like, one of the first games where we would, like, get really mad at each other, and you know, my dad got really good at it, and you know, he would start beating us, and we'd just be, like, really angry and, like, have an attitude, getting, like, fights and stuff over it. And then after that, you know, my dad played a lot of Halo, and I have played way more Halo than anyone else in our family. So I got really good, and then my dad and my brother would play, but it would always be those two versus me when we played, and I would still destroy them, but it was like funny to watch them play. And then they would play with each other, but you know, I think that's a big part of gaming, definitely is like the family aspect, and having a dad who plays with you, you know, it's like fishing for the 21st century.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, like, I think we've talked about it before, but I think one thing that's kind of gone by the wayside this newest generation is couch co-op, and you know,
yeah,
and it, whether that's couch co-op, like, cooperative play or actual, like, just multiplayer competitive play. But, you know, when we were younger growing up, we were sitting right next to those people, you know, we were sitting with family, we were sitting with friends, and it's just like, you know, you just don't have that
feud on Sega Genesis.
Oh my God. Family Feud on Sega Genesis.
It's terrible. Most family tear and destroying thing.
those were the type of games that, like, well, like, first of all, I didn't grow up with a father because he was a dick, but so my mom kind of filled both of the roles for me. But my mom got me my NES back in, I think it was like 1990, or it was around there. And I just remember her playing, like, you know, she plays Super Mario Brothers with me, and she never, like, figured out how to run, so it was just, like, this constant slow movement of just, like, it was Super Mario Brothers 3, so she'd be Luigi, and I was Mario, and I'd have, like, 100 lives, and she kept having to, like, take my lives, and, but she would just, like, walk, and then just walk and jump into a hole, and, It was hilarious to watch, but I loved it. But going back to Charles's point, talking about Family Feud, any of those game show games? Because I had Family Feud on Sega Genesis and regular Nintendo, and I remember my mom, that was one of the games that my mom loved to play, because I would just, like, I would put in all the information, and she would, you know, she would play with me, so we'd be playing together, and basically just be playing on the same team, and, like, Wheel of Fortune had, like, you know, it was fine, there were some categories that you could understand, but Family Feud was, like, name the top five cars, and number one was, like, Datsun and all these other, like, cars that don't exist anymore. And I was like, damn it, like, I clearly don't know any of this as, like, a five-year-old child.
What? Why don't you know it?
But yeah, I, some fond memories of game show
they're
games.
Like, yeah, yeah, they're like, who hit the most home runs in 1972? What the fuck? I tried to play one of those, like, recently. I was like, I got this sports category. It's like, football. I'm like, cash. It's like, who won the Super Bowl in 1978? I'm like, are you shitting me? Like, I couldn't even figure that out if I had Wikipedia in, like, 20 seconds. Yeah, I guess I could talk about my experience. So my dad and me played a lot. Like, so I grew up with just my dad, so, you know, we spent a lot of time hanging out. Like, we were pretty much, like, best friends. So when I grew up, we spent a lot of time playing, like, regular Nintendo together, and it's kind of like you said, you know, like, these games were all, like, you know, sit there together and play them together. Like, that was the style of the game. So we kind of did that. I think one of, like, the fondest memories, or actually it's probably not the fondest, but I remember my dad playing, like, Zelda, and, like, we were, like, playing it together, the original one on NES, and I, like, I accidentally knocked it off or something, so I unplugged it while I was playing, and it just erased all the files on it. And my dad was just like, what happened? And I was like, I came in and I was just like crying. I was like, I wrecked all the files. I was like, you know, like 4 years old. So, yeah. And like, since, I think, like, sort of as I got older, I sort of, like, I started playing way more video games than my dad, and then he kind of became sort of what we all kind of think of as, like, you know, your old parents who don't know how to play anything. And my dad sort of, like, he still sort of, like, plays games once in a while now, but he usually gets, like, stuck. I try to get him sort of hooked on some stuff, you know, like, you know, I try to get him on WoW, and, you know, because it's so kind of easy, and he played it for a little bit, and I got him playing Torchlight for a while because it's sort of like a dumbed-down Diablo. It's very easy for him, so he's playing that a while, but the one game that he's played so much of that drove me absolutely nuts, and he hasn't played in a long time, but he used to play a ton of RuneScape, he was, like, ridiculous in RuneScape. He'd have so much shit, and he was, like, serious. Like, I tried playing with him, you know, like, you know, it's like, I'd be like, oh, I'll play with you, you know, it's like an MMO, and I'm, like, playing, like, this game's so fucking hard. It's like, it's made intentionally, like, impossible to do shit so that, like, it takes forever to, like, level and shit. And so I'm just, like, playing, so I'm like, Dad, this thing sucks. Like, you can only have, like, 20 inventory spots. You can never expand it. He's like, yeah, it's just the way it works. Like, he's, like, so, like, accustomed to it. And I, like, go to him, and he has all this shit. He has, like, epic armor, and he appears like a wizard and shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, he's, like, a god in this game. I'm like, damn. So, yeah, but, I mean, I think it's, like, I think, you know, I don't know. As like, we got older, you know, our parents kind of, games are sort of, even for us sometimes, right? Like, they're kind of, like, over our heads a little bit, and that, like, you know, and then that, like, indie games are really cool for me now. I'm like, and I don't know. I just think that, you know, like, it's cool when your parents play games now because it's, like, so hard, it's so different for them when they were kids, or when they were, like, when we were kids and they were playing with us and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about it too, our parents started with, like, Atari, right? Like, they really started with, like, those types of games. So they really are, like, the OGs of, like, gaming. Like, even we're not even, like, old enough to really, like, know what it's like to, like, play Pong when it first came out.
Shufflepuck on Macintosh my dad had.
Shufflepuck.
Is it the same thing as Pong?
No, it was, like, air hockey.
Okay.
Yep. What about that, game that your dad had on the Mac, where it was, like, you had to carry people in the helicopter, and
drop them on a bale of hay, and if they fell outside of it and they went splat,
yeah, they exploded. It was great,
man. Or the game,
so PG.
It wasn't easy because you're dropping them from, like, 200 feet in the air, and the truck's moving. And...
yeah, that was it was all about timing.
Yeah. And then there was the other one where it was My dad was all into the arcade games, and oh, what the heck's the name of the one where you're shooting the lasers in the sky? Yeah, I don't remember, but...
Asteroids?
Missile Defender.
Something like that.
Missile Command.
And he was really into that one. Also the one with the weird little alien creatures that come down slowly and slowly.
Space Invaders?
Yeah, Space Invaders. So, yeah, he was big into the arcade games, and then big into the computer games on the Mac, Macintosh at the time. This box. It's
terrible. You guys played, your dad, didn't you and your dad play, like, Myst and stuff, too?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. That wasn't really a social game.
No. It was kind of one of those games you could sit down, because it was kind of hard for, you know, yeah, a 7-year-old or 8-year-old or whatever.
You had this weird one that it was all, it was similar to Myst, except for it's much more vocal, like, you know, people talk to you and stuff, and you gotta solve puzzles, but I remember... Riven? What's that?
Riven?
No, it was a totally different game, but there was this guy in it, and he would, if you turned on hints, it would go, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, like, he'd give you hints on what to do, and that was reminding me of,
You didn't say the magic word. That
reminds me of there was a game that I played back, like the very first computer that my parents got. It was like Windows 95 or something, and it had a there was a game that it came with called Journeyman Project or something. It was like you went back in time, and like it was kind of like, it was a lot like Myst, but you like traveled through time, and there were like teleporters and stuff, and you went on like Mars, and there were like robots and all this crazy stuff. And I can remember playing that with my dad, and it was one of those things where like you like look down the hallway, and then you either like have to go backwards or forwards or left or right, and then, you know, then it would like load the next area, and then you like kept moving. And I can remember playing it, and we would map out everything out and figure out where we had to go, and like, okay, well, yeah, if you go down that hallway, the robot's gonna kill you. And that was like a more simple one. And then eventually we like graduated to Myst, and Myst was like, that game is hard.
That
like,
game is really hard.
When you're young and you don't know like all these things, and especially there's like so many little puzzles you got to figure out. I remember there's one where you like go in the fireplace, and then there's like little, it's almost like Minesweeper. There's little bumps on the thing that you got to push in, and you have to get that right. And I remember, like, we finally got so frustrated with it, we went out and my dad bought, like, the Myst guide, like, the guidebook, and we were like, screw this, we're just gonna beat it, and then we sat down and beat it, and it was just, like, it was just a real experience, you know?
Definitely. The only real, like, father experience that I've had with video games was my father-in-law, Mike. After I got out of college, Dana was still in college, so I lived with Dana's parents for a year while she was there, and you know, so I just played video games like basically all the time because I was like, I don't know what else to do, you know. I was kind of just, you know, it wasn't awkward because I had already known them pretty well, but during that time, I got Dana's dad addicted to video games, and because I had a PlayStation 3, and so I taught him, like, he went from never playing a video game since Pong on Atari to playing like dual sticks. He started playing Battlefield 3. He loved it. He loved how much, like, he loved the like FPS games and whatnot. So now he bought his own. He got his own PlayStation 3, and he plays Battlefield. He still plays Battlefield 3, and he's like, you know, he's like a, you know, 60 Eagle, whatever, prestige, like ridiculous. I think the last time I looked, he had put in like, it was like 65 straight days of something. I don't know. It was a lot of time.
It's all the blueberries he eats while he's playing.
Yeah, that's right.
boobers are supposed to enhance his mental capacity.
Yeah, that's right. His, because that's how I convinced my mother-in-law to buy him a PlayStation 3. I was like, hey, they've done a lot of studies that say that playing video games actually reduces your chances of getting Alzheimer's. And she was like, all right, sold. So it's all
victory.
Science. we did have one of our listeners write in this week, because I asked if anybody had any stories about video games and their dads or with their sons, and at that Chaffee wrote in and said, I don't have a story about my dad, but as me, the dad, my son has been introduced to the classics via Wii U and 3DS. It's awesome watching him play with the same excitement, joy, and frustration I had when I was young, which I think is great. Like, he has another part to this story, but, I think all kids when they're young should start out by playing like the, 8-bit Atari or basically anything that you can, to just show them the progression of gaming so that they like actually appreciate, where it all started, and it's not just like, because otherwise, you see all these little douchebag kids that they go around and they start out playing, Battlefield or whatever on a PlayStation 3, and they're like, all this other stuff looks like crap. I don't want to play this. This is garbage. And it's like, all right, well.
Yeah, I mean, if you know better, there's some games, that are very simple and very good, right? Like, I don't know, I guess what comes to my mind is, like, the original Mario, right? Like, that game is very simple, it's very easy to grasp. You can jump, and you can run, and you can run fast, and that's pretty much it. You know, there's some power-ups and stuff like that, but, I think you get an appreciation for, like, the complexity of games as they go up. You know, it's 2D, you don't have to worry about guys behind you and things right. like this, so it's like, I think it's really good to appreciate that. At the same time, you have to sort of filter the games out, because if you give a little kid, like, Battletoads, Battletoads probably isn't that bad, but, some game that's extremely difficult and almost impossible to beat, their kids are going to be like, dude, I'm never playing this 8-bit game ever again in my life.
Plus that's, like, parental neglect or, abuse.
Yeah, exactly. It's like abuse.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think it's changing a little bit now, since indie games are kind of coming into the scene, and we're seeing a lot more 2D platformers with a different art style. They're looking more like really pretty, like 16-bit games.
Sure.
And
without some of those things that I was just talking about, and that, like, they're actually kind of respecting your mentality, like, your mental, right. like, status afterwards. And, like, they're making, even if they're very difficult, at least they're, like, reasonable.
Well, and they also work.
Yeah, you don't, like, get to a certain point and then you just can't get past it, or the mechanics aren't just, like, the guy randomly shoots something in some random direction, which you have no way of determining or, like, dodging, or, like, having any chance of, like, surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like reasonable mechanics and reasonable, like, things, which is, like, cool. And I think that's personally why I enjoy those games, is because it's like that old school style, that simplistic style with a new age mentality of, like, reality, like, reasonable.
Instead of just a code reasonable. That puts in a random value, it's a random value that has some rules around it.
Sure. Sure.
Getting back to At That Chaffee, He shared a picture of the card that his son had made him at school on Twitter. And his Father's Day card said, it's one of those, like, kind of pre-stated cards where it says, my dad is awesome because... And Chaffee's son goes on to say, my dad is awesome because he lets me play Mario Kart 8 longer.
Yeah.
I think that's just hilarious. Like,
yeah, that's pretty epic.
Mario Kart.
I think this is kind of, especially for a lot of people, like, in our shoes, who are in our generation of gamers that grew up on on the NES and stuff like that. But, you know, we're getting to the point now where we're gonna start being the shitty dads who don't know what they're doing. And it's kind of it's weird to be in that group. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up with games for so long, and I think that I'd like to think we'll be better than our dads, you know, because we really grew up with the games. We'll be able to pick them up faster, but you know, our kids are going to start beating us at games, and it's going to be, like, sad, you know?
Yep.
Well, until that time, you just have to own him. Like, own them the entire time, up until they start beating you. That just, like, sorry, I can't let you
show
win.
No mercy.
Nope.
Total destruction.
You're in, like, a multiplayer game with them, like a competitive multiplayer game. 60 kills, 0 deaths. Whoops. Sorry, kid. That's how you learn. Terrible. Well, I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is the top five worst possible fathers in video games. Which
some of these are great. I'm just gonna say.
All right, who wants to take number one?
I put this one, and I have experience with it. So, I mean, actually, I put most of these. But this one here, I probably have the most experience with, and this is in the Tekken franchise. I don't know if you have to have played this, but there's sort of this like lineage of like Hitachi, Kazuya, Jin, and they're all like super a-hole. I mean, Hitachi's like a super a-hole dad, and then like Kazuya's just, like, you know, turns into this demon, and it's like it's this most fucked up like family genealogy in this game ever. So this was like a very, very atypical like father son, so grandfather father son like sort of relationship. It's just like totally ridiculous, like, and it's actually kind of and it's gonna like go off on sort of a tangent. It's kind of ridiculous that Tekken, being a fighting game, has like a really deep storyline. It's basically like every time you beat the game with one guy, you sort of see a little bit more of the story. But anyways,
considering too, since it's a fighting game, like technically dads are fighting their kids, like,
right?
Yeah, it's what usually happens. They like beat the shit out of each other, and it's like complete fucking chaos.
It's all Tekken is apparently all about child abuse, but
yes.
I was looking at that, and I was just thinking, like, I was thinking of, like, Mortal Kombat characters, and, like, if any of them are fathers, like, what's the last guy, Shang Tsung? Like, your sword is mine!
There was, like, wasn't that one guy, like, Liu Kang's, like, what was that other guy? It was, like, his, like, they were related. The guy with the hat, he threw it.
Oh, yeah. The guy, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I don't know why I'm blanking on the
blade on the hat.
Yeah.
What I want to see is Goro and Shiva's son.
would it have eight arms?
That they were. That they were siblings.
Those are the exact words that are about to come out of my mouth.
Oh god, so wrong.
Number two.
I like this one. So number two is King Zora from Ocarina of Time, because physically does not make sense how he gave birth. I forget his daughter's name, but
Zora.
Just like how was her name Zora too?
Zora.
Yeah. Like how does this weird fish lip dude give birth to this like human looking creature?
Besides the fact that he let her get eaten by a whale.
Yeah.
His fat ass was—he was so fucking fat and lazy that he couldn't even save his own daughter. All the best that motherfucker could muster up was shimmying
yeah,
his ass.
Yeah, that was
over
the worst. It takes like a full 2 minutes for him to move across. You're just like,
you're just sitting there like, dude, why don't you just like lean forward or something, and I'll go around.
Yeah. Terrible.
What a terrible father.
Yeah. Dick.
He was like, yo, by the way, my daughter's stuck in a whale back there. Can you help me out?
Bullshit.
Ridiculous.
Bullshit.
Number three.
So I think this was, so we have on here Donkey Kong Sr., the original Donkey Kong, and I'm pretty sure, isn't in the Super Nintendo version, he's, like, hanging out with, so he's just, like, hanging out with Diddy Kong, right? And he's like, there is a Donkey Kong Jr., right? So, like, through all this, he's neglecting his own child with some other random, like, tiny monkey.
Yeah. He's just...
He's a terrible father.
Maybe he's probably just one of, like, Donkey Kong Jr.'s friends, and he's just like, sorry, I like Diddy Kong better, so I'm gonna hang out with him.
He's clearly way cooler because he has a hat.
Then he can fly with his tail.
True. Yeah, what's with all the secondary characters in like Super Nintendo and that whole 16-bit era where it was like, oh yeah, this character can fly with his tail. This just happens. Sonic and Tails.
Yeah.
And apparently Diddy Kong. Dude.
Well, apparently you can't even fly with Tails in the second Sonic. So since I haven't had internet for the last 3 weeks since I moved, I've been like playing all these old games. I was like playing all the Sonics and shit, and I didn't realize, but you can't even fly with Sonic in Sonic 2.
Yeah, it's like Sonic 3, I think, is the first one.
It's
like 3 and on. Yeah. So you can play as Tails in Sonic 2, you just can't fly. I'm like, but he flies. Like, so I like Googled this, and I was like, how to fly with Tails in Sonic, and the first response in the forum was, just run off the screen and he'll fly over to you. I was like, nice. It's like trolled so hard.
Is he as fast as Sonic? Did they make him as fast in the game?
Yeah, but if you hit like springs and shit, I think he kind of gets... He gets like... All he does is die, basically. He hits all the things and flies off the screen. You're just like, cool.
And it always sucked, like, if you played two-player and the other person was playing Tails, because it's like, the screen only follows Sonic, so if you're on Tails, it's just like, bom, bom, you just go into, like, spikes every 10 seconds, like...
Yeah.
In the casino level and stuff, you're just, like, getting shot all over the place, and you're just, like, can't do anything.
I always died where, like, two things would, like, meet. Like, if there was, like, some, like, moving lever, it would, like, it would, like, hit, and it'd be, like, right in the wrong spot where, like, the two corners met, and it'd be like, bom, boom! And then you're like, fly
coins
down.
Coins are fly everywhere. Bitch.
Yeah.
No. Just insta-die.
That was my least favorite part of Sonic. It's just when coins fly everywhere and I have no idea where I am anymore.
It's such a ridiculous, great concept. It's so ridiculous that, like, that someone came up with this concept where, like, oh, you can collect all this shit, and as long as you have one of them, you won't die. So as long as you grab one. But the best part is, like, when you die, they go flying. So you're like one of those people in the cash air machines where the cash is flying, and you're just trying to grab, like, any of them that you can. Like, and then you end up dying because you're jumping for, like, that one ring that's on top of a spike or something, and you're not even paying attention.
I like that there are all these, like, random, just, like, metal boxes that are filled with apparently things that give you one extra life or like a shield or something. And it's like, it's supposed to be the forest, and it's just like, yeah, there's this thing here that is just like a power up, but it's on top of this like upside down like loop-de-loop thing, so you have to figure out how to get up there. So
yeah, I was having this really philosophical like thought process with it. I was thinking, you know, Dr. Robotnik, like this level is like made for him, right? There's a springs everywhere and these ramps and all this stuff. It's like clearly this is not to his advantage. But then I started thinking about it, like maybe like he actually did this on purpose, because later in the game it starts getting really hard where there's like spikes at the end of springs, right? So you're like lulled into this comfortable like feeling that like if I see a ramp it's gonna give me somewhere good. And no, it's not always the case. Sometimes it shoots you right off the edge or off into spikes or into, like, something that kills you immediately.
Have you guys heard that there's a, like, a half live-action, half CGI Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out?
Are you kidding, right?
No, this is a real thing.
What does that even mean, half CGI, half live-action?
I don't know.
Like, he's gonna be, like, in the real world, but he's CGI or something? Because that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, something like that. But I saw this and I just went back and looked it up and it is a legitimate thing. The Guardian reports it.
Oh my.
So, this is gonna be fucking Super Mario all over again.
Yeah, it's gonna be awful.
With Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Bob Hoskins.
Mistake.
All right, number four. Andrew Ryan from BioShock, because he was kind of a dick.
I'd say, yeah, that's potentially an understatement.
Yeah.
What's it?
And I guess he was the father of the main character, or like he engineered him at least, right? So he might have been the father.
He's like a father figure.
Father figure.
Yeah.
Not a very.
And most definitely for the whole, like, in all of Rapture, basically, too, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember. Did he make, like, all the big daddies and little sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he basically had, like, 10,000 illegitimate children that he just, like, spread around the city that he
created. Oh, I don't think he. They kidnapped little girls and then they turned them into that.
Or even worse.
It's like the slave trade.
Sir. Yeah. We could have put Big Daddy Sir instead.
It's right in the name right there. Although they're actually pretty good dads, so.
Yeah, that's true. They would do anything to die for a little sister, yeah. So.
I'm going to run at you, motherfucker. Like, be prepared. Number five.
All right, I'll just say it. Every character I make in The Sims. Whenever you have a baby and you just neglect it because you put the speed on 3x and it's just like dying and shit.
Well.
Yeah.
I feel like the purpose of having children in The Sims is to build walls around them and watch them fade away.
Turn into little Sims ghosts.
Yeah, all the ghosts. And I like, it's like, you're a terrible, terrible dad and terrible husband because it's like, you lock your wife up in something and then, like, then you just, I love how there's just like a graveyard in your backyard and you're like in this like suburban neighborhood. And it's just like, yeah, yeah. There's dead people back there, but don't worry about it. It's fine. I've killed, like, all of my family members, but...
I think the best part, too, is when, after they have a child, you just build a wall around the child, and then they just completely forget. They're like, oh, I guess I never had a child. What's that? It's not like they're like, where's my baby?
Where's my baby? Where's my baby?
I didn't go in my baby.
I can remember making a game of The Sims, and me and my fiance Jackie, we made characters that looked just like us, and then we had a baby, and it came out like the most monstrous, hideous beast creature thing I've ever seen. And you're like, all right, well, we gotta build a wall around it.
Dude, The Sims is The Sims is harder than real life.
It really is.
Like getting promoted towards the end of the game is like not even fun. It's like, you have to have, like, 20 contacts, and all you do is just talk to people, and you're like, I can't take this shit. I can't even virtually take this shit right now. I don't know if I ever had a baby. I was too busy trying to become the best in my job.
You may have impregnated your wife, but... not worth it at that point.
Wasn't not important. If it wasn't getting me a pay increase so I could buy a bigger flat screen TV.
I mean, if anything, it just like increased the cost, so it was like no incentive to do it.
Well,
other than to like kill babies.
I wonder what like percentage of like the population would play The Sims the way that they actually want their life to be played out. At.
I just remember as soon as I found out that there was the cheat code Rosebud that got you like all kind of, like it kept giving you like tons of money, I was like, well, I'm just gonna buy everything. I'm gonna make this huge ass house.
The mansion with all the like the $100,000 square foot tiles that like are so expensive and the pillars and shit.
Yep. It's ridiculous. And then I'd burn it to the ground.
And then the goths would come over and you'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, I think that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've actually been playing this past week. So Tim, what have you been up to?
I finally hit the level cap in Wildstar, so a little level 50 warrior on Storm Talon if anyone is playing on the North American servers, but
if anyone wants to slash duel you.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of PvP. You know, I haven't gotten into PvE that much, but it's fun. I think it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the new game shine is kind of worn off a little bit now and starting to see, like, issues with it. But for the most part, it's still a solid game and it's a lot of fun, so.
Cool.
Charles.
Yeah.
Nice.
I haven't been playing anything for a while now. It sucks. I need to get back. Too much work.
Yeah, buying a house and going to Atlanta apparently makes you too busy, goddammit. Steve, what are you up to?
Well, I've been at dinner for the last 3 weeks, so like I said, I've been playing, like, I have a Wii, which has a lot of old games on it, which I won't say how I got them, but I have them on my Wii. And I've been playing a lot of, like, retro games and stuff, and, yeah, like I said, I was playing Sonic, and I actually got into Zelda Link to the Past, which I've beaten, obviously, a long time ago, and I've just been, like, grinding this game. Now I can't stop. The internet's been installed, and everyone came home and they're like, "What are you doing? Where's the TV?" And I'm like, "I'm at the third temple right now in Zelda." So.
I can't.
They're like, "Why are you still playing this?" I'm like, "I cannot stop until it's beaten." So, that and WildStar too. So I'm like about 50% of the way to level cap. So I got a lot of work to do to catch up to Tim, but that's about it.
Nice.
And Dota sprinkled in there, obviously. That's just, like, implied now. I don't have to talk
just
about it.
Oh, yeah. I started playing Watch Dogs, which, initially I was a little bored with. But as I played more, I think I got more interested in it. The storyline didn't catch me too much, but you know, Chicago's a cool city to drive around, and I like that. I just like being able to hack things, and I mean, it's basically just like all the hacking stuff is like a giant puzzle. So it's kind of cool. It's cool in that sense, where you like go and unlock the CTOS towers, and like unlock like new sections of the city, so then you can use your hacking abilities. It's pretty neat. I like how it's, I mean, all the missions are basically stealth based. You're like the main idea. It's like, it's not like, you know, GTA 5 or, you know, any of the GTA games where it's like, well, I'm just going to go in guns blazing with, like, you know, this mini gun and, totally just like destroy everyone. It's like, I'm going to hack into this camera and there's something across the way that can explode. And then other guys come over to look at it. And then you hack into their phone. And it's just like, it's cool. It's getting better, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I also got into the Battlefield Hardline beta this past week, which has been very, very entertaining. Actually, it's already significantly better than the Battlefield 4 beta, and it takes place in Los Angeles, and you're basically, the two sides are cops and robbers, and the robbers are trying to steal money, and the cops are trying to get the money back to, like, secure it. And there's a bunch of new stuff opened up, and you, like, have grappling hooks and zip lines that you can go from the top of buildings into, like, through windows and onto other buildings and stuff. So that's new. It's fun. I've had a good time with it so far. Vehicles are sweet.
Cool. When's it supposed to be released?
I think it's October. Somewhere in there. October, November. Judging by the beta, I'd say it's already better than Battlefield 4. So I have hope. Yeah, so that's basically it. I've also been playing Limbo on Vita and Terraria. I just downloaded Terraria on Vita like a couple hours ago because it was free on PlayStation Plus. So
That's like the best deal on PlayStation Plus I've ever heard of.
It's gonna be
the amount of hours you'll get out of that game is tremendous.
It's gonna be fantastic. I look forward to playing that once I finish Limbo. So, but that's what I've been up to. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you, At That Choffee, for writing in and giving us your Father's Day story. We appreciate it. Thank you, listeners, for listening this week and every week. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 40, 12 weeks away from a full year of weekly podcasts. And it's late, so we're leaving.
See you later.
Mic drop.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
Those games suck so bad and so unbalanced. Blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carls.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
There's a potential that I may be farting during the entire podcast.
PAX cast.
Oh, God. Get your gas masks out.
Twitch support, or Nintendo and Twitch both support, is everybody still here?
Yeah, just said like a blurb there.
Okay, just making sure.
I thought it was my internet because it's so new. I was like, "What the fuck?"
No,
no, all the video just cut out.
Yeah, I can see Nick, and that's it.
Yeah, I can see you, Steve.
I guess I can't see Tim, basically.
What the hell?
Well, I can hear you.
What the heck?
Tim's coming back. Get out of here.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Oh, it's in that video. I can see everyone, but they're all like, you guys are all grayed out.
Yeah, it'll probably pop back up eventually or something.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just keep going.
Strange.